Chapter 8, After Ever After. Summer of 1992, Oregon Coast. Would you stop? They're not going to care about how you've arranged the flowers, Eddie says, tugging Steve away from the kitchen table and the pot of fresh flowers he's been rearranging every time he walks past them. Sighing, Steve lets Eddie bring him close. I know, I'm just nervous. You know how I get. He does. Every holiday, every summer, every time they have guests, Steve needs to clean the house from top to bottom. Needs to stress bake and shop and plan until he's a ball of nerves. Eddie has become a master at distracting him once the house is clean and all there is to do is wait. Dropping kisses along Steve's jaw, Eddie whispers, "They won't even be here until later tonight. I know a good way to get rid of your nerves." "Yeah," Steve breathes out, smirking. "You gonna help me clean the rain gutters and fix that squeaky shed door you've been complaining about?" "You absolute brat," Eddie laughs, pressing his face into the column of Steve's neck and nipping less than gently. Steve yelps, scurrying away, but Eddie follows, as he always does. Laughing, Steve runs up the spiral staircase off the kitchen. It's the only way up to the third floor of their sprawling Victorian house. There's a staircase in the entryway that leads to the second floor guest bedrooms. This one, however, goes to the tower, as they dubbed it when they bought it. It's a huge bedroom with windows on all five sides, half of which open out to the ocean. The entire house is still a work in progress. They've still got a few drafty windows to replace, some plumbing to update, floors to refinish, but the tower has big new bay windows that open to let the breeze in, a newly installed wood stove for winter nights, and the floor has been repaired and recoated. Besides the kitchen, which is Steve's pride and joy and where he made far too many batches of cookies last night, it's the only room that's completely finished. They'll get to the others soon enough. "Have I told you how much I love you in overalls?" Steve asks, when Eddie catches up with him a few feet from the edge of their bed. "You've mentioned it." "Every time." Steve mentions it every single time he wears them, which is why Eddie has too many pairs for one man. Today's are light blue, bleached pale from the sun and the salt in the air. They're rolled up to his knees from the early morning walk he and Steve had taken on the beach earlier. The knees are ripped and stained, and the front pocket has a Metallica patch sewn onto it. As overalls go, they aren't exactly metal, and he isn't even wearing a shirt, but Steve likes that too, so it was fine. When the entire troop had moved to Portland with their admittedly huge payouts from the government in the summer of 1986, thank you, Nancy Wheeler and Charlene Sinclair, Eddie and Steve had spent 1 year sharing an apartment in town before deciding to buy this rundown old house on the beach a little over an hour outside of Portland. Then they'd bought a few hundred acres of woods and beach around and behind it, big enough for everyone else to build houses on if they ever wanted to. Big enough for no one to ask questions when a pack of wolves ran through it every holiday and all summer long. They visited the other families often in Portland, of course, spending full days shopping in thrift stores, at little mom-and-pop bookstores, taking the kids with them to comic book shops and record stores. Sometimes the arcade if they wanted to hear them yell at each other. On these Portland shopping trips, Eddie took great pleasure finding band t-shirts for the cheesiest bands imaginable, disco and one-hit wonders, and then gifting them to Steve, who wore them unironically. Randomly, throughout the day, he would blast whatever that band or singer's one famous song was on the stereo in the kitchen, dancing around singing Funky Town or Don't Worry, Be Happy, while he sifted flour or fried chicken. Steve was wearing one now, bright yellow with a picture of the garish album cover for Katrina and the Waves, Walking on Sunshine. Steve is sunshine, so it's accurate. At some point, Steve had cut the sleeves off and cut the sides halfway to the waist. He's wearing it now with cut-off shorts that show plenty of hairy, dusted thigh with the beach sand that lives rent-free everywhere in their house. He is so beautiful that Eddie almost can't stand it sometimes. "You've got too many clothes on, Stevie baby," Eddie practically purrs, stalking him toward the bed until the backs of Steve's knees hit the mattress. Faux shocked, Steve says, You're more covered up than I am, Munson. He sits on the bed, staring up at Eddie as Eddie twists his hair into a messy bun, looping the hair tie around it. Am I? Eddie teases, unclipping each side of the overall straps and letting them fall, revealing that he's naked under them. Spending all morning with his dick loose in his overalls was totally worth it for the expression of shock, joy, and desire on Steve's face. Eddie, Steve says reverently, biting his bottom lip and staring at Eddie's cock as it fills out, curving up toward his flat belly and its thin happy trail. Taking Eddie in hand, Steve looks up at him through hooded eyes. This for me? Yeah, baby, always. It's always for you. He groans, thrusting up into Steve's hand, resting his hands on Steve's broad shoulders. Broader now than when they were barely more than teenagers, shoulders that have remodeled parts of their house, shoulders that have built a coop for the chickens Eddie loves to keep, shoulders that Eddie has woken from nightmares and cried on, shoulders that have carried the weight of the world for more years than Eddie has loved them, and he'll spend the rest of his life trying to lighten the burden that Steve feels the need to carry on them. Leaning forward, Steve licks Eddie from root to tip, lapping up the pearl of precum gathered there. Quickly, Steve unzips and pushes down his own shorts, kicking them off to the side, while Eddie grabs the back of his yellow shirt and pulls it over Steve's head, tossing it over his own shoulder to land somewhere that doesn't concern Eddie right now. As Steve reaches for his hips, Eddie nudges his shoulder, pointing toward the center of the bed and their mountain of pillows there. I'm gonna ride you, big boy, Eddie informs him, grabbing the lube out of the drawer by the bed. Yeah, Steve asks as he scoots into the center, laying back on the pillows, hard cock drooling across his own fuzzy happy trail. What if I wanted to ride you? Turning back to the drawer, Eddie pulls out a silicone cock ring, smirks, and slips it down his shaft where it pulls tightly against the swollen base of his dick. They'd found more than just thrift stores in Portland. They'd also found a healthy, queer-friendly neighborhood with interesting stores and clubs that had broadened both of their horizons. Oh God, Steve gasps, knowing just what Eddie has in store for him, and both fearing and loving it. Grinning, Eddie says, Yes, dear. Fuck you, Steve laughs without any heat. Get up here so I can get my fingers in you. Tisk tisk, Eddie admonishes, but he climbs over Steve's lap, straddling him. Such a nasty mouth. Squeezing lube onto his fingers, Steve reaches around Eddie's thigh with one hand, using the other hand to pull his cheeks apart, exposing his hole to probing fingers. The first finger slips in easily with no resistance. Fuck, baby, did you prep already? Steve asks, biting Eddie's jaw gently with a little growl. He slips a second finger in, and it goes in with just enough stretch that Eddie hisses, but pushes into it anyway. Oh fuck, that's nice, he groans, arching his back and spreading his legs a little further. I did prep. Thought about asking to be fucked without any more, but I want to be able to sit tonight. Steve chuckles, squeezing the ass cheek he's holding. Give me another. Eddie grabs the lube and squeezes a little more onto Steve's fingers, barely having time to cap it and toss it aside before Steve's wiggling all three fingers in at once. He moans, leaning down to catch Steve's mouth in a kiss that's all tongues and desperation. Wet and a little messy. Steve's thrusting his fingers in and out, and the angles are not great, but there's plenty of lube, so, after a few minutes, Eddie grabs the headboard in both hands, lifts himself, and says, Hold your dick up for me. Steve gives himself a stroke with the leftover lube, holding himself up at the base, and Eddie presses back down onto him. There's a bit of a burn, and he probably should have let Steve finger him for longer. He always forgets how thick Steve's cock is because they both prefer Eddie to top, but sometimes he just gets that itch, you know? Just needs Steve's dick inside him, and Jesus, the stretch makes his eyes roll back in his head. Holding onto the headboard, Eddie continues to press down, drawing himself up just enough that he can take the rest of Steve's length, eventually settling into the cradle of Steve's hips as he bottoms out. Oh, fuck. That's so good. Stay still for me, baby, just for a minute. Because Eddie's body needs to adjust. When he opens his eyes, Steve's looking up at him with such love, such adoration. He doesn't doubt it, never has. Not since that first kiss in the car, really. They belong to each other in all the ways that matter. Same-sex marriage isn't legal, but who says they need a piece of paper to declare that they belong to each other? Marriage is just bonding yourself to another person for life. What does the government know about that anyway? The government enslaved and tortured children to assassinate people across the world. They let other children fight monsters. The government definitely gets no say in who Eddie's going to call his. And Steve is his. In a way that allows them to be both healthy individual people, but also completely enraptured with each other. It works for them. It had been slow going at first, what with Steve's house being filled with people all those years ago, even when the school opened again and everyone except Wayne and the Byers-Hoppers had gone back to their own homes. There had been stolen moments, sure, but there were always people in the house. They'd killed Vecna in the last days of March. By the first week of April, Nancy and Charlene had the feds scrambling to hand out new NDAs to be signed by the parents of minors, and big, fat checks for everyone's silence. None of them would ever need to work if they didn't want to. Robin and Steve had burned their family video vests in a frankly ridiculous bonfire that resulted in the kids running around like the boys from Lord of the Flies or something. With Max as their leader, of course. By the first week of May, the families had chosen Portland as the future home for the entire clan. The kids didn't have to do much convincing to stay together. Once the parents were all in on it, everything had gotten easier. No one needed to lie about where they were or why. The first week of June, they'd all graduated, even Eddie, thanks to the wheedling from the rest of the group. He was never going to need it, set for life as he was, but it was the principle of the thing. He'd said he was going to do it, and he'd done it. It was worth it. It was mid-July before they finally got Steve and his meager stack of boxes moved into the little apartment he'd had rented for himself in Portland. Eddie had technically been living with Wayne in the apartment he'd rented for the two of them, but it was only a name, really. As soon as the last box had been hauled upstairs, Steve had yanked the plastic off his new mattress, put the new sheets on, and they'd fallen into bed with more want than knowledge, but they'd figured it out. They'd spent the next week figuring it out. Over and over and over. Grabbing both of his hips, Steve lifts Eddie a few inches and thrusts up into him. Arching his back, Eddie gasps out, "Oh God, yes!" He slams his body down to meet Steve's upthrust. He rolls his hips, grinding himself down on Steve, holding tight to the headboard they've reinforced twice now. "Stay up," Steve grunts out, and when Eddie gets his knees planted firmly under him, lifting himself a few inches above Steve, Steve bucks up with his hips, smacking his pelvis against Eddie's ass again and again as he drives his dick deep. The light breeze trickling through the open windows is probably carrying the sounds of their slapping bodies out into the yard, but there's no one else here yet, so they don't care. Eddie adjusts his seating in Steve's lap, moves his hands from the headboard to Steve's shoulders, holding on for dear life as Steve fucks him in short, precise thrusts. "You want to come, Stevie? You want to come for me and let me fuck you while you're all fucked out and oversensitive?" Behind him, Eddie feels Steve's knees pull up as he plants his feet flat on the bed. He's got just enough time to brace himself before Steve really gives it to him. Eddie's knees come up off the bed, and he's supported by nothing but his hands on Steve's shoulders and Steve's extra strong grip on his hips as Steve fucks him hard and fast and so, so deep. Slowing to a grinding stop that makes Eddie whimper involuntarily, Steve pants, "Lean back, brace yourself on my thighs." Eddie does, bracing his hands behind himself on Steve's thick, muscled thighs, just in time for Steve to go again. Eddie squeezes Steve's hips with his own thighs for balance. At this angle, he's hitting Eddie's prostate every few thrusts, making his dick throb in the cock ring. Drops of precum squeeze out of his slit and dribble down his shaft, where it bobs and smacks against his own stomach. "Oh, fuck, fuck, I need you to come. Come on, baby." Eddie's toes curl, his own hips thrust up, dick bobbing as his prostate sends shockwaves of pleasure down his legs. "Come inside me, Steve. Oh, God." Thrusting once more, Steve shouts Eddie's name, shuddering, pulsing as deep as he can possibly be inside Eddie, filling him up. Before the aftershocks are even over, Steve sits up, wrapping his arms around Eddie, kissing his lips, his nose, his cheeks. "Love you. Love you so much." Eddie really loves this, that they can have sex as hard as they do and still be soft together. It makes the rough and gross parts of sex beautiful in their own way, knowing that there's love entwined in it all, especially since he's about to flip Steve over and ruin him. Pushing Steve's hair behind his ear, Eddie kisses the lobe, kisses the sweaty column of his neck, along his jaw, coming back to his ear to whisper, "You ready?" "I don't even get to clean up," Steve says, not shocked, but Eddie shakes his head anyway, shoving at Steve's shoulder until he leans back, giving Eddie space to pull off his cock. They both groan. Steve's dick, glistening with lube and his own cum, is softening slowly, but Eddie knows if he can catch the fading erection in time, Steve will come again. Then he'll be super laid back tonight when everyone gets here. Eddie will have fucked the anxiety right out of him. A trickle of cum leaks down the inside of Eddie's leg, and he wants to clean himself off, but it will have to wait. He pats Steve on the hip, lifting his eyebrows at him until Steve grumbles and rolls over, getting up on his hands and knees. Grabbing the lube where it's wedged itself under one of the pillows, Eddie squirts a generous amount onto his fingers, slipping one in without resistance. "Oh, look who else prepped," he teases. "Yeah," Steve groans low in his throat as Eddie pushes a second finger inside him. "You're easy. Knew I could get you to fuck me." Eddie slaps his ass with his free hand, and Steve wiggles his hips, mockingly, obviously grinning as he replies, "Is it not true?" "I'm only easy for you, Harrington," Eddie smiles back, sliding a third finger into Steve, slowly this time, because he can feel the stretch. "Ugh," Steve grunts out, dropping to his elbows and arching his back. "What have I said about calling me Harrington when you've got your fingers in my ass?" "That you like it," Eddie smirks, thrusting said fingers in and out, scissoring them. "And you want me to do it more, maybe even when my dick is inside you." "Don't you dare," Steve warns, turning his head to glare at Eddie as he moves into position behind Steve, spreading more lube up and down his reddened shaft. With the flat of his hand, Eddie pushes down lightly on Steve's tailbone, helping him lower into a better position. He rubs the swollen head of his dick up and down Steve's cleft, catching the rim of his hole as he grazes past it each time. When Steve whines, Eddie pushes the head just inside Steve's rim, pulling Steve's cheeks apart with his thumbs so he can watch his cock sink into Steve in one smooth glide. They both moan, cursing and gasping equally. Eddie watches his cock disappear into Steve as he thrusts into him a few times. "Fuck, Harrington, you're always so tight. If you know what's good for you, you'll knock that Harrington shit off," Steve spits out, but it loses some heat when he follows it with, "Oh fuck, right there." Then gives a few of his own backward mini thrusts to take more of Eddie's dick. Eddie could keep up the gag because he's ultimately a little shit, but he wants Steve relaxed and sated more than he wants to be obnoxious. He leans over Steve's back, kissing across his shoulders, moving his hands to Steve's hips to hold him still. "Love you, Stevie, so much." "Yeah?" Steve's breath catches. "You know I do," Eddie whispers softly, in juxtaposition with the hard thrust he gives Steve as he straightens up again behind him. "Love everything about you, every hairy inch." He laughs, slapping Steve's ass pointedly, and fucks into him 3, 4, 5 times, hitting his prostate on the last few so he can hear Steve cry out, feel him clench up. "Eddie, Eddie, Eddie!" Steve's shaking his head back and forth where it hangs. "I need to come. Just fuck me. Stop trying to be funny and fuck me." Rude. But Eddie gets it. Steve's got no patience for Eddie's shit when he's sensitive from coming already and trying to go again. He nudges Steve's knees apart a little more, presses down on his shoulders so his arms are outstretched and his face is pressed into the mattress. Taking hold of Steve's hips, Eddie fucks him, hard and deep and relentless, pinging his prostate on every single thrust because he knows it'll get them both there as quickly as possible. Steve clenches around him, already so close, and Eddie gasps, "That's it, baby, almost there." Beads of sweat are gathering at the base of Steve's spine, and Eddie watches as one droplet rolls up the line of his spine and drips into his hairline. With one hand, Steve reaches under himself, and there's the slick sound of him fucking into his own fist. The momentum from Eddie fucking him into his own hand curled around his oversensitive cock. "Oh fuck, fuck, just like that, Eds, I'm so close. gonna come again. He's panting, huffing hot breaths out into their fresh, clean sheets, cheeks red and sweat gathering on his forehead. Yes, yes. Oh, God, I fucking love you. Steve shouts, clenching hard around Eddie's abused cock as Steve comes for a second time. Burying himself flush against Steve's ass, Eddie comes too. Balls pulled tight against his body, dick painful inside the cock ring, legs vibrating with the force of his orgasm. He rides it out, draped across Steve's back. They're both sweaty, and it's well into mid-afternoon, so the breeze has died down too much to help. When Eddie sits up, there's the gross noise of their sweaty bodies pulling apart, and they both laugh. Eddie flops down on his back next to Steve, and Steve lays on his belly in his own wet spot, because they're both dudes, and this is real life. Wet spots happen when you have this much sex. They stare at each other, not touching because it's hot and they're sticky, and they love each other enough that they don't always have to. Sometimes, in moments like these, Eddie thinks about how the worst thing to ever happen to him led to the best life he could never have imagined. The entire family is coming out for a week, even Ted Wheeler, who's warmed up to all of them. His Uncle Wayne and Claudia Henderson, soon to be Munson, have finally taken them up on their offer to host the wedding on their beach. The kids, who aren't kids at all anymore, are all staying for the whole summer before they head back to their various colleges. They'll play Dungeons and Dragons and they'll swim in the ocean. Maybe they'll bury Mike Wheeler in the sand and leave him there for a while. They'll run through the woods as wolves, probably nap in the sun like that, too. There will be laughter and s'mores roasted over a bonfire, probably some tears as they share memories and make new ones. And one night, surrounded by their whole family, under the starry sky, with the sand between their toes, Eddie is going to pull the ring out of his pocket, the one that he had made special, and ask Steve Harrington to be his forever. Eddie swallows hard, knows his eyes are glassy and full of love for this man, knows also that Steve's going to start fretting again if he doesn't keep him distracted. And Eddie's always been so good at being a distraction. Gently covering Steve's hand with his own, fingers overlapping, arms pressed together, Eddie says with mock seriousness, "Now you're gonna have to change the sheets again." Narrowing his eyes, Steve moves almost too quickly, graceful and lithe like the wolf he is, smacking Eddie with a pillow before he tackles him, and they roll, naked, gross, and laughing, right off the bed. The end.
Sunshine, whoa, I'm walking on sunshine, whoa, I'm walking on sunshine.